Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, aren't you glad for men like Thomas? If it wouldn't have been for Thomas, we wouldn't have this verse. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You be seated. Our Father, we are thankful and so grateful for your care and compassion. Bless this good church. We thank you for this beautiful building. Lord God, I'm amazed at what you do here and why you do it. You do it for your glory and for your honor. The world can't get in on it, but we pray they will one day. That's our hope. That's our desire, that they may see the true way. In Christ's name we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. So I don't know a lot of stuff, but I do know this. I know that Jesus is the way. Amen. I don't know a lot of stuff, but I know I'm saved. I know I'm headed. One preacher said, heaven bound with a hammer down. I'm a going that way. And so we want to look today at this, a place prepared. It's a big universe, isn't it? And I was thinking about this just today, preacher, on the way up here. I think a lot. Don't mean much, but I still think a lot. But I was thinking about something, and I was reminded that the Lord reminded me. Aren't you glad God will come by once in a while and touch your heart, remind you of some things? And he reminded me how big this universe was. And this is one of the very first places where he told his disciples he was going away. He said, I'm going to take you with me. I'm coming back to get you. I'm going somewhere. He promised Abraham, you know, he made Abraham promise. He said, see, stars in the sky, so I'm going to make your children as the stars of the sky, as the seas of the sand. But he promised us that we were going to go with him. That's a lot different promise, isn't it? And I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful for our grandchildren. And I tell you, I'm grateful for my children. I appreciate John Carr used to travel with us, and he'd get in the car, and I used to drive him everywhere. Hey, I drove everywhere. I don't drive anywhere now. I don't let me drive anymore. I think my driving scares him. I think it did then, but they just couldn't say nothing because they're little, you know. But we find out this, that Jesus said a few things, and we see first of all a plan. I'm glad God had a plan. And in that plan, he included truth, he included trust, and he gives us a thrill. Amen. I'm thrilled to be saved. I'm thrilled that I belong to him. I look up in the sky at night, and I'm amazed. Hey, when it's cloudless and you see all the stars, I'm amazed at how big this universe is. And if the universe is that big, he said, in my Father's house. Just think, if the universe is that big, how big heaven must be. I can't even begin to imagine, but I try, amen, I try. But I do know this, that there was a time when this is the way men think, we thought everything revolved around us. We thought everything revolved around the earth. That's not so. We even believe that the earth is flat. That's not so either. Hey, it'd be, you know what I think? This is what I think. I think evolutionists and atheists don't really comprehend the bigness. They say it has to be 20 billion years old, the world, if everything happened like they say it did. It used to be a theory. When I went to school, it was a theory. Today, it's a known fact. It's still, hey, here's a fact. In 6 days, God created everything that exists. I'm grateful. Hey, I'm glad I didn't come from a monkey. But Jesus said that I have a place prepared. And here's the truth. He said, let not your heart be troubled. And these are troubling times. We were singing about that earlier, and Brother Whittemore preached about that. These are troubling times. But he said, don't let your heart be troubled. The world's troubled about things, but don't be troubled. Death even troubles some Death even troubles, sometimes it troubles even saved people. That's because we've never experienced death. We will one day. And the Bible tells us that don't be troubled about it. Don't let your heart be troubled. What was going on here? Peter was troubled. He said this. He said, if they coming after you, you're going to have to go through me. We saw how that turned out, didn't we? Oh, Peter, he said, three times he denied the Lord before the rooster crowed. And here we find some great truths. Here's a plan, and truth. Truth brings about peace. I'm glad I have peace that passes all understanding. I'm going to leave here today, and tonight I'm going to pillow my head, and because of peace, I'm going to sleep. Some of you done got a head start on me. some have already left it. They you can't feed Baptist food. Hey, if you feed Baptist food, they go home and go to bed. And so some already got a head start on us. But the truth is, it's because they got peace. Here's where I get my peace from Christ. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, believe in God. I believe this is a command. He said, believe in God. I'm glad I believed in God. I'm glad God told me to. And I know this, in my Father's house are many mansions. Some say it's dwelling places, but I believe he said house. I believe he said that for a purpose, because I have a home beyond the sky. I'm headed that way. I'm going there. Why? Because God promised me I could. He said, why? Because he said, you believe in God. He said, believe in me. And so here's one of those places about the Trinity preacher was talking about. Here's one of those places that tells us God and Jesus are the same. Hey, Jesus is God. He said, I am. I am. I'm glad he is, aren't you? And he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Thomas, believe these things. And so there's peace. And I'm glad he's prepared a place just for you, a place just for you. Hey, not made with hands, but made in the heavens. God doesn't use his hands. As a matter of fact, of this world, he spoke it into existence. And six, all he had to do was say, let there be, and there was. He said, let there be light, and there was. He said, let there be an earth, and there was. All these things have happened. All these things have come to pass. As I said, I don't know a lot, but I do know this, that truth is real. Truth is dogmatic. Hey, I've heard people say in the Bible they don't like the Bible because it's dogmatic. Truth is dogmatic. Truth is truth. The reason that 2 plus 2 equals 4, it's dogmatic. You can't change that. And truth is that things that are in Scripture are they're dogmatic, and they have to be. They must be. They're truth. Truth is truth. And you can't get over it. You can't get under it. You can't get around it. Truth, you're going to have to accept it and believe it. I'm glad I believed it. And because I have believed truth, I have peace in my heart, and I have a place that I'm headed to. I'm going somewhere. Let me tell you, I'm headed somewhere. So you say, where are you going? I'm going to a place that God's prepared just for me. Hey, listen, just for me. I'm not going to your place. You have a place. I'm going to my place. He said there's a truth. And not only a truth, he says we're to trust. Who are we trusting in? Well, I'm trusting in Christ. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. He said, no man can come to the Father but by me. And so I'm trusting in the Christ. We know this, that there is a trust that brings about Christ. It brings about commitment. I've committed my life unto the Lord. Have you? You see, it takes more than just believe. It takes faith. What did you say faith was? How about that? Forsaking all, I trust in him. Hey, there's a trust. We've made a commitment to Christ. And Christ has made a commitment to us. He died at Calvary because of that commitment. And listen, it's a thrill in my heart. I'm glad to know that Jesus is real. Hey, I'm glad that there's a reward. God has made clear to my life in your life, in the life of every believer, everyone who's trusting in the Lord. It's a thrill, listen, to get up every morning. I know that it's, the reason I got up is because God allowed that. Yeah. Yeah. As I said, I don't know a lot, but I know this, He's real. Yeah. Hey, and His realness, and I know this, it gives me a thrill. Yeah. And I'm thrilled to be here today. Amen. You say, you don't act it. I feel it. I may not act it, but I feel it. So, sometimes you say, well, are you saved by feelings? No, I'm not saved by feelings, but I'm glad I can feel it once I get saved. Amen. Yeah. I'm glad once in a while them bumps run up and down my back, run up and down my arms. One fella said, them's not goosebumps, them glory bumps. And so it's real. Hey, we have a reward. And that reward, God's going to give you a place. He's prepared a place just for you. Why? Just because you believed. No other reason. It's because you believed. Now, not only did God have a plan, God had a purpose, and in that purpose, He brought about in your heart and my heart comfort. I'm grateful for comfort, aren't you? I'm glad that there's ease in my heart and my spirit. I was telling Brother Whittemore before service started, and things were going pretty good before I got saved, but since I got saved, there'd been some problems. I was thinking about this. That problems do come. You're going to have a problem once in a while. And we rejoice in those problems. Why? Because God sent them that it might draw us closer to Him. We might rely greater on Him. He's able. Hey, He's able to overcome every problem. One day, every problem you've ever had, every problem you have now, is going to be gone. What a wonderful day that'll be. It'll be gone. And he said, we're looking, this comfort brings about knowing this, that He's coming back. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And verse number 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. What a great promise we have in Christ. He said, I'm coming back. Hey, you may have some money in the bank, but there's something you can really count on. Christ is coming again. He's coming back. Said He was. What makes you want to believe Him now? I believed Him then. I believed Him when He said He died for me. I accept that and believe that. And I believe this, that He's the way. And so His return. And His return comes, there's also our redemption. Listen, I have comfort knowing this, that everything's going to be all right. I don't know what's going on in your life, but it's going to be all right. It's going to work out to God's good and to His glory. I don't know what you're looking to or what you're hoping for, but I do know this, that because God saved us, He's going to have His purpose and He's going to have His way in our heart and our life. It may not be easy, but it'll be glorifying to Him. And so we know this of our redemption. And not only for comfort, but for commitment. He said the way. He said, I am the way. And we know the way. It's through Christ Jesus our Lord. And the wonder of it. I have to tell you this. The world wonders. That's why they say 20 billion years. It's because they wonder, why is it that all this could happen? I was listening to a guy the other day, and he said this. He said, yeah, and this is true, a gas doesn't form, and that's what the sun is, it's gas. It's gas, it's burning, and why doesn't it dissipate? Because of God. Hey, I don't know about you, but it's a miracle. God's creation's a miracle. You look at the, you look on the mountaintop, one fella said this, and I don't know if this is so or not, but he said that the water didn't have to cover all that deep, because the mountains come up after the flood. That may be so or it may not be so, but Mount Everest is pretty tall, isn't it? Yes. I hadn't ever climbed it, but I know it's tall. I've heard of it, and I know it's a tall place. But they have found seashell fossils on top of Mount Everest. That's amazing, isn't it? I don't think there's any clams that climb Mount Everest, do you? But we do know this, that God, in his infinite mercy and his wisdom, listen, God, it repented God that created man. And he said, I'm just going to destroy everybody. He said, well, wait, there's one old boy. He's a pretty good old boy. And he's trusting in me. And he said, Noah, would you build a ship? He said, I'll build one. And Brother Whittemore made reference to this today. I don't know how long he built that ship, but he built it. I don't know what it looked like. One fella said, we went to the one in Kentucky, and it's a sailing ship. But one guy said it didn't have to be anything but a flat-bottom boat because it wasn't going nowhere. And wherever it went, God guided it, amen. So I don't know if it's flat or if it looked like that in Kentucky. I don't know. But I do know this, that God asked Noah if he'd build one. He said, yeah, I'll build one. And so Noah started building. And they called him a foolish man. Hey, they mocked him and they laughed at him. I want to say to you, the world's going to mock you and laugh at you. You go to preaching and telling people about Jesus, and they're just not going to accept it or believe it. But I'm glad somebody told me about Jesus, aren't you? I'm glad somebody wasn't afraid to tell me Christ died for my sins, because that's exactly what he did. And when I accepted and received him, I have found strength and comfort. And I've committed myself to the way of the cross. It's a wonder. Hey, he said, for our commitment, for our comfort. But then he speaks about the cross. And preacher said I could use my phone. I don't do too well anymore trying to find references. But listen to some of these references. 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, verse number 18 tells us this. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. See, the world says it's foolish. He didn't say it's foolishness. He said, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You remember Paul told those at Rome, he said, for the preaching of the gospel is to them that believe the power of God. Power. And so here again, Paul's talking about power. God's power is endless. He is omnipotent. He's all powerful. I don't remember the word. I don't do too well remembering anymore. As a matter of fact, I never did real well, but I'm grateful that God remembers everything. Amen. Except your sins. Yeah. And he'll never remember them anymore. Listen to what he said to those at Galatia. He said, talking about the cross, and I believe Preacher Shane quoted this 2:20. Didn't you quote that verse? He said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hey, aren't you glad that Jesus is willing to come? There used to be a song that people sang it that said they searched all over heaven. I don't believe they searched. I don't believe he had to search. I believe Jesus is willing right from the beginning, said, I'll go, Father. You don't have to look. Hey, that's a wonderful thing, is that Christ was willing to die. He was crucified for my sin, and I've been crucified with him. I died to the old man a long time ago, but the old man's not dead. I still have trouble with the old man. Anybody else have trouble with the old man? I have trouble with the old man. And somebody said, I was talking about one of my boys. I said, he's a pretty good old boy. I said, when he's asleep. And they said, if he's not dreaming bad dreams. Hey, listen, if you ever went to sleep and dreamed bad dreams and you couldn't help yourself, hey, that's the flesh in you. And so we struggle. But I'm crucified with Christ. I died for the cause of Christ. Listen again to what he said in Romans. Don't you love the book of Romans? I appreciate old Brother Milton Taylor. How many times I've heard him preach out of Romans chapter number 8, and he revealed great truths to me. In chapter number 5 of the book of Romans, in verse number 8, this is what he said. He said, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's amazing that Jesus was willing to go to Calvary and die just for you. Hey, I wouldn't die for you. Aren't you glad I'm not God? I wouldn't die for you. hey, you say, but some went to into the military and died. They didn't go to die. Hey, they went to defeat the enemy. They died. Some of them died, and they knew they could, but they didn't go particularly and specifically to die. But Jesus came to this world specifically and particularly to die. Hey, he came. He knew what it was all about when he got here. When he was sitting in the temple talking to the doctors and the lawyers, and they were amazed. Listen, why were they amazed? Because he was God. And they were amazed. Listen again to what, talking about the cross and death. He said in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, in verse number 2, this is what he said. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It is, here's that word faith again, forsaking all in, tell me one more time, preacher, forsaking all. In? Yeah. Faith. That's it. Forsaken all. I trust him. Okay, thank you, preacher. Told you my memory wasn't too good. I appreciate a man with a good memory. He said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of what? Our faith. We have forsaken all. In him we've put our trust. And he said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You think Jesus was pleased when he was hung naked? I believe he was hung completely naked before the world. Hey, all of his sins were naked before the world. I'll tell you what, Jesus, we sing a song that Brother Fletcher wrote, and it said, and he said in that, he said, I know your darkest secrets. Hey, the devil knows all about you. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you thought. He knew where you was going. And I believe this, he planned for you to have a good time doing it. We the preacher made this statement. He said, it's not a good time, but it feels like it, don't it? Yeah. Hey, sin feels good. And there's pleasure in sin. But it's just for a season. It's going to run out one day. And I'm glad it did. I'm glad one day my sin ran out, caught up with me and told me who it was and what I was doing. And this young man came by and told me about Jesus. And I said, I would, and I didn't. Yeah. And he came back again. He said, how about it now? And I said, how about what? He said, come go with me and learn about Jesus. I said, okay, but I didn't go. And he come back the third time and the fourth time. And I finally said, he's going to keep coming back till I go. And so I went. It was inopportune, but I went. And Jesus saved me. Glory, hallelujah. It's because of persistency of a young man. He told me about Christ and told me again. And so we know this, that Christ had a way. He said, looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Now listen to what he said in Colossians concerning death. Listen, this is what Jesus, he had plans. He had a desire in his heart to die for your sins and for mine. So in Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 14, you know this verse. He says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And it's not just to the cross, but to his cross. There was a song that people sang, and I appreciate that. Nail it to the cross. Hey, Jesus knows all about your problems. He knows what kind of person you are. And by the way, I don't know what kind you are, but I got a good idea. You're a liar. You're a thief. You say, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. And I said this one time to a crowd. I said, you bunch of liars, thieves, and cutthroats. And they looked at me like, who are you talking to? I said, I know who I'm talking to. Amen. I'm one of them. And God saved you from that kind of mess. Hey, if it wouldn't have been for Christ, you'd still be lying. You'd still be cheating. You'd try your best to get out of it, but you can't. Hey, listen. and he blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. Hey, listen, sin's against you. One day they'll be remembered no more. Hey, they'll be pushed as far, and some say, well, that's not how it is, but I believe it is. Hey, he says, buried in a deep part of the sea, and he said, as far as your sins have been placed, as far as east is from the west. Some say, well, that's Old Testament stuff. It is, but hey, let me say this. Old Testament's just as real today as it was in that day, and I'm glad Jesus made a way of escape at Calvary. He was willing to become your sacrifice, my sacrifice, for his glory and for his honor. Hey, despising the shame and taking upon him sin, the lovely Son of God who knew no sin, became sin, every sin, sins of the pedophile, sin of the fornicator, he became every sin. Hey, and that's how, that's why Christ, why we can say this, Jesus saves from sin. I'm glad he said this in Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 8. He said, in being found in the fashion as a man, this was Jesus, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why was he willing to do that? Because his Father asked him to. Hey, the preacher was saying earlier today, all you have to do is follow the Lord. Hey, he followed his Father, and the Father made a way, and Jesus made a way, and I'm glad I've escaped eternal punishment. I'm going to tell you this, I'm not going to hell. Just not going there. You say, why aren't you going there? Because Jesus made a way. Woo! Hey, glory, hallelujah. I'm getting kind of excited about it. And this is what he reminded us about. He was talking about the truth that Christ was going to die for the sins of this world. In Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 26, this is what he said. I'm sorry, verse number 23. He said, for the wages of sin is death. Listen, I died to sin. And he said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad I have eternal life, and it's because of the cross of Calvary. Hey, there's no other reason. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't rich enough. I didn't have enough. I wasn't good looking enough. I wasn't good looking enough. And by the way, you weren't either. But Christ was enough. Hey, when he died, this is what took place. When he died, the Father said, it's enough. He said, I'll accept it. I'll take it. It's enough. Woo! Hey, it's enough when Jesus died for my sins. It's enough when Jesus died for your sins. It's enough because the wages of sin were death. But the gift of God, he gave us life eternal, life everlasting, glory, glory, glory. And so we know that when Jesus hung on the cross, there was some things that he mentioned that he made clear to us. I'm glad that I'm glad that on the cross Jesus was understanding and committed himself unto us, life everlasting. And these were some things that he said when he was hanging on the cross. He said in Luke chapter 23, Jesus was dying. He was on the cross dying. Why'd he die? He died because he loves you. Why'd he die? Because he loves me. And this is what he said in verse number 34, I believe is the verse I'm looking for. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I put this to you today. I don't believe you know the depths of your sin. I don't believe you fully understand the depths of sin. If you did, we wouldn't sin anymore. I don't understand the depths of sin. There's a lot of things I don't know. And I don't know what Jesus suffered at Calvary. But he was willing, and he did. And he did. He paid a great price. And here's a man that did not owe the Father anything. I owed him everything. I couldn't pay it. But Jesus didn't have to, but he did. Isn't that wonderful? If I was writing songs, I'd write something like this. He paid a debt. he didn't owe, and I owed a debt I couldn't pay. I believe somebody's already wrote that song, don't you? And I don't blame him, do you? Hey, glory, hallelujah. And he said again, talking on at verse 43, this is what he said of this same chapter, Luke. He said, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's what he said to the thief. That's what he said to the one hanging beside him. There's one on each side. And one said, if he is really the Christ, he'd come down, he'd save us and take us with him. And one said, you don't know what you're talking about. He's the Christ. And Jesus said, thou hast said well. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm glad one day I confessed my sin. I said, I was just an old thief. Had no hope, no other recourse of life except this, to confess my sin. He already knows about him anyway. You ought to confess your sin. And so here he said to this thief, he said, today thou shalt be with me. I'm glad he's in paradise. I'm glad I'm going to see him. I'm glad I'm headed that way. I think I've already said that. Well, glory, hallelujah. Now, again, this is what he said in John's gospel. Here's more things that Jesus is hanging on the cross. He shouldn't have had to say anything. But I'm glad he did, aren't you? He said in these last chapter, chapter number 19, I believe is the chapter I'm looking for, and verse about number 26. Here's what he said. Thank you, preacher, for letting me use this. I'd still be looking for that for 1 Corinthians, probably. He said to Mary, aren't you glad at the cross Jesus spoke? He didn't just speak to the thief. He didn't just speak to John, but he spoke to his mama. Hey, and he said, woman, behold thy son. And you say, well, he shouldn't have said that. Yes, he should have. What he was saying was, Mary. Hey, listen, what he was saying to the Catholic, by the way, the Catholics think they get saved through Mary. That ain't going to happen. Hey, that ain't going to happen. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. And so you're not going to get there doing your Hail Marys or whatever it is or this or that, but the only way you're going to get there is to trust in the blood, shed blood of Jesus at Calvary. He said, woman, behold thy son. And then he said again, he said, I thirst. Hey, he was human. You say, how human was he? 100%. You say, I thought he's God. He's 100% God too. You say, that don't add up. I don't care if it adds up or not. That's what he was, 100% man, 100% God. And he was thirsty on the cross. And he was God on the cross, dying for your sins and for mine. And Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled. This is what he said, I thirst. Hey, that's because he's thirsty. And then he said, as Mark records for us, if I can find that. Thank you again, preacher, for letting me use this. This has been a real blessing to me. And let me say this, it's been a blessing to you too. You don't know how difficult it is for me to think and to try to find things. And here's what he said to the writer. He said it through Mark. Aren't you grateful for a man like Mark, who God gave him another chance? This is John Mark. And Paul said, he's not good for nothing. Just leave him behind. And he didn't leave him behind, but he did go ahead. He left and went on. And then later, Paul said about Mark, he said, he's profitable. He's profitable. Hey, I'm grateful that God takes those things that are not profitable to him and causes them to be profitable. I'm grateful for that. And so here's what he said concerning Mark. He said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. He said, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Jesus knew this. God had not forsaken him on the cross, but he did turn his back on him. Listen, God can't look on sin, but I'm glad he can look on his son, aren't you? And by looking on his son, he looks at me, he looks at you. I'm grateful that he sees my every need. He knows my every care. That's the kind of God I serve. That's the kind of God that's going to help you, and he's going to help me. And so I'm going to go back to John chapter 19, and this is where we're going to finish up this saying. In John 19 and verse number 30, this is what he said. John 19 and verse number 30, he said, "It is finished." He said, "I've done all I can do. Now, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Isn't that amazing that he said, listen, God's not going to break into your life and say you're going to have to. This is what you have to do, but he's going to come to you tenderly and gently. Somebody said this, he's a gentleman. He'll not break in. He'll not force you to do anything you don't want to do. Listen, there's some, that means this, God doesn't send any man to hell. But hell's a real place, and many people go there simply because they won't accept what Jesus did for them. Jesus said, it's finished. He bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. I'm glad that Jesus was willing to give himself. So we see the plan. We see a purpose. That purpose was for comfort. It was for commitment. It was to bring salvation to every man. It was this. It was for the cross. It was to bring salvation to you. It's to bring salvation down to man. I'm glad he saved me. And then we see not only a plan and a purpose, but a plea. There was great lostness. 2 Peter tells us this in 2 Peter. Peter, I tell you, someone said this about Peter. They said before Jesus left, he opened mouth and inserted foot. That's what someone said. But later, he became the one that led 3,000 souls to Christ while he was preaching. That's amazing, isn't it? So we know this, that there was great lostness in the book of 2 Peter in chapter number 3 and verse number 9. He said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I'll tell you, you can't read that verse and say you're a Calvinist. There's no way. He said that whoever you are, if you'll confess Christ, he'll save you. I was talking to this lady recently, and she was in her 80s. Preacher, she was like 81. She looked good, though. And I said, "Sister, you really are." And we used to go, and she said, "My husband's 82. He said he's never accepted Christ as the Lord and Savior. 82 years old, but it's not beyond God's ability. Hey, God still saves 82-year-olds. God still saves 90-year-olds. God still saves 100-year-olds. God still saves 5-year-olds. God's just in the saving business. And he did it because Jesus came into this world. There was lostness. Jesus said, "I'm the way." And listen, he said, "You can be saved because I am the way." He said, "The truth brings about sureness." I'm glad that you can be saved and know you're saved. Isn't it wonderful to be saved today and know it? You say, "How do you know that you're saved?" Because you've asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin. You've believed him. Hey, he said, "Believe in me." And we've believed in Christ. Some years ago, many years ago now, I believed in Jesus. I believed that Jesus was the way. I believed that he was the truth. I believed that he was the life. But I was 23 years old and having the time of my life. And I believed that, but I was on my way to hell. Yep. See, you can believe it and still be on your way to hell. But when I turned 25, it became real in my life. Sin did. And I believed in Christ, and Jesus saved me, and I'm saved now for all eternity. Somebody said, "Have you ever doubted your salvation?" I've never doubted my salvation. I doubted God's power and his ability, but I've never doubted my salvation. And by the way, God's able. God will keep you. Hey, that's the kind of God. God's not slack, but he is long-suffering. And so some people say, well, if you're if you're old and you're not saved, then God, he's long-suffering. Hey, he'll put up with a lot of junk. I don't understand that. I don't put up with junk. Just ask my children. I didn't put up with junk. They did some junk behind my back, but I didn't put up with no junk. And they got a few whippings. But I'm glad God will put up with junk. And sometimes God should have whipped me. Sure enough, he should have whipped me, but he didn't. Instead, he drew me up close to him and said, "Well, I love you." And I said, "Why, Lord? I don't understand that." And I still don't understand it. But I understand this, that his love, I understand that. And so we find out that God's a great love. So the surety of its truth. Hey, if you believe truth, you're saved. Hey, if you've believed in Christ, you're saved. If you believe in the work that he did for you, you're saved. And then he talks about, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The way brings about salvation. The truth brings about sureness. But I believe this, that the life brings about satisfaction. I'm satisfied with what Jesus did. You're looking at one satisfied customer. I got no complaints at all. Hey, Jesus, it don't matter what people have said about you, what people have said about me. All that matters is what God knows. And if that's all right, hey, he said the life is this. I'm living the life. One fellow told me one time we was traveling, and he was a blind man. He could play the piano. He's blind. He said, "You're living my dream." I said, "Let me tell you what. God's good." I don't know where that boy's at now, but he said we're living his dream. And I know this, that life is life short. I used to think time used to fly when I was having fun, but I found out this, time just flies. It don't matter if you're having fun or not. You're going to wake up one day and you're going to be an old person. It just happens. Some people don't even wake up. Some don't make it old. I don't know why I was thinking about this. But I had a friend when I was in high school. He had a girlfriend and she was in a car wreck and got killed. Couldn't have been 17, 16, 17, 18 years old. When I was that age, you could get your driving license when you was 15. You say, "Why can't you now?" Because she got killed. I mean, that's the reason. And I remember what he said. I wasn't saved. And he said, "I don't need her no way." And my mama was a saved woman. She said, "That's the wrong thing to say." You know what? I believe that girl lifted her eyes in hell. I believe she's in hell today. I didn't know anything about hell, but I don't believe she's a saved girl. Not by the things she's doing, not by the way she's living. I don't believe that. But I believe this, that God has a life and brings about to us satisfaction. I'm satisfied with him. I may not be satisfied with what's going on around me, but I'm satisfied in him. And there was lostness. There was life. In John 3:16, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I believe there's the eternal. Hey, I'm going to live forever. You look at it, one guy, I'm just going to live as long as Jesus does. You say, how long is that? That's eternal. That's forever. Hey, he is from everlasting unto everlasting. And there's no beginning. I don't struggle with no end. I do struggle with no beginning. Jesus had no beginning. That's amazing, isn't it? No, he's not created at all. He's God. And so, but there's also abundant life. I'm grateful for that abundant life, aren't you? Aren't you glad that whatever's going on with you, God gives more than you can handle? God gives more than, he said, Jesus said this, he said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Hey, listen, there's people out there, they just want to take your stuff. They don't like it. You've got it, and they take it. But Jesus said, if you want it, here's the Christian life. The thief's life said this, "I want what you got." The Christian life says, I'll give you what I got. Hey, that's a complete different philosophy, isn't it? But that's who we are in Christ. I'm glad he gives eternal life, and I'm glad he gives abundant life. You may see some of these on television that says, on the back of car stickers, and it says beach life or salt life. Hey, mine's Jesus life. I belong to him. He belongs to me. And he also said there's liberty. Aren't you glad that there's liberty? He said in Galatians chapter number 5. Preacher, I love these books. Don't you love these Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians? That's a GE Power Company. That's how I learned that, GE Power Company. And this is what he said in Galatians chapter 5 in verse number 1. He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, but find freedom in Christ. See, we have liberty. This is why Christ came. He came to plead your case. And he said, Father, he needs freedom. He needs liberty. He needs to do what he wants to do for my sake, for my glory, for my honor. And listen, if you honor Jesus, I'm going to tell you what, it'll honor God. You say, why? Because Jesus is God. Now, believe it or not, I am just about through. There is liberty, but there is also love. Listen to what he said again in Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 13. He said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We have liberty, but that liberty is revealed because we love one another. I wonder who you love. We're coming over here, and I said, you got to love everybody. And Isaac said, I even love Muslims. I said, well, you're going to have to love them because they're God's children. They're God's creation. And there's no other way around it. Mark said this, and I am. I'm trying to finish up. How long have I been preaching, preacher? Too long? I feel like I'm Shane Jackson. I remember when Brother Shane was at, this don't even have anything to do with anything, but I remember when he was going to school out there, and my brother David was teaching homiletics. And Shane preached that Wednesday, and I said, it might have been on Tuesday. I said, how'd he do? He said, man, he's long-winded. You know why he's long-winded? I found this out. He had something to say, amen? I don't know what kind of grade he made, but it don't matter about a grade. But I do know this, that God has a plan. God has a reason. God has a purpose. And so I really am trying to quit. I really am. But I'm going to have to tell you this. Mark 12 tells us some things about in verse number 30, about love, he said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. He said to love. I'm glad aren't you glad that Jesus loved you? And yet, he said to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Do you have trouble doing that? He said, love the Lord with all thy soul. You have trouble doing that? I do. He said, with all your mind? I do. And he said, and with all thy strength. That means day and night, all you think about is love, love, love. And I'm afraid I don't do that. Sometimes I think about, that guy's a rascal. Y'all thought I was talking about your preacher, didn't you? I have said that before. I said, that guy's just a rascal. And then I realized that God loves him. Hey, God loves him. So here we find the love of God. There is love. There is liberty. There is lostness. He said there is life. all these things work for the good of God and for the glory of the Son. I don't know. I can't look at the sun, can you? You know, they said this when there was an eclipse a while back. They said, don't look at the sun. It'll blind you. It'll hurt your eyes. I have a son that I can look at, don't you? I've looked at him a lot, and I've never found him wanting. He's always perfect. That's amazing that God can do everything he does and remain perfect. But he is perfect, and I really am going to quit. You know, you have to say that about six times, preachers. And in conclusion, and finally, and in conclusion, God's good. He's good. He's a good God. And he'll help you on the journey. Listen, I don't understand all about who I am. I don't understand all about who he is. If I could, he wouldn't be God. Amen? If I could understand, it wouldn't take much. Hey, but God's bigger than any. He's bigger than any problem I've got. I can't figure out my problems, but God knows how to take care of every one of them. I don't know how God knows all that, but he does. You say, well, God knows everything. I know he does, but that's hard to get your hands around, isn't it? That God knows everything. If I could just help him a little bit, if I could just help him a little bit, he'd be a lot better off, wouldn't he? Hadn't you ever said, let me just do this and everything will be all right. That's not what he wants done. What he wants done is he wants you to trust him, yield unto him. Life is full of changes. I've learned that. I've really learned that. It's like that little song we were singing, said life's like shifting sand. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'm glad I can trust one who knows all about tomorrow. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today, and he'll be the same tomorrow. Hey, the world's not going to be the same. Waterloo's not going to be the same. They're changing everything around. It's a little place. We had a traffic jam in Waterloo not long ago. All five cars came to the stop sign. Well, that's really not true because there's seven cars now. And life's are changing. Things are changing. That great philosopher, Bob Dylan, said, things are a-changing. He really got right, didn't he? Things, they are a-changing. I don't know what tomorrow will be like for you, but I do know who knows. And so if you just put your trust him, it'll be okay. Listen, if I could urge you to do anything, it's trust the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Hey, that's what he said to do. And I want to try to do that. I don't know that I can, but if I could, I would. So, preacher, I'm through. What do I do now?